Chris, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Doing super. And, of course, you know, the big news this week, and I think it caught some people by surprise, is when Jeff Fisher on Tuesday said that Jared Goff was one play away from playing, and then 24 hours later announced him as the starting quarterback. So give me your thoughts on this.
Well, it was coming. We didn't know when. I figured it was going to be at some point here within the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think that the play of Case Keenum hasn't been good, but certainly far from the only reason why they can't get the ball in the end zone. Only he knows when he is ready. I think there's kind of a perfect storm when you can't get the ball in the end zone and you're struggling and you feel like the quarterback is – close enough that you're ready to go. I think there's also some other dynamics in play. You know, when you keep getting asked about it and you say, hey, we're going to play when he's ready, then the media starts going to the quarterback and saying, hey, why aren't you ready? You know, why aren't you ready? What's the deal? Well, I'm ready, you know, and it becomes, you know, a little interesting dynamic to manage. But listen, I don't think there's anything sinister about it. I think that we'll see how he plays. If he plays great, you're going to hear everybody say, you should have started him 6 weeks ago. No, not necessarily. He's going to have his growing pains. But I do think when it's all said and done, it's time for him to start to learn and grow and see what they have in him.
Chris, I've been waiting for you to come on so I can ask you this question, because watching the Bengals this weekend, Ken Zambezi, the Star Wars package, this thing is – you got trips high, you got trips low. Tell me, is this something that we're going to see in the NFL, or is it just a flash in the pan?
Flash in the pan. I think that you see – those things are really good. They're useful. I think you can – you cause people to prepare for things like that, but you can't live off on them. They're like condiments. You can't have it as your main meal, but I think it makes your meal taste a little better. I'll say that.
Yeah, you know what? Gimmicks normally never work in the NFL. They might work once, but then after that, once it's on tape and once everybody sees it, it's not going to work again. Don't you agree with that for the most part?
I think that when you do it, though, you get them to prepare. You kind of rent space in their mind on what you might do, and I think it keeps people off balance. But, No, you can't have a steady diet of it. You've got to be able to – it still comes down to being able to execute. But I think keeping people off balance and doing multiple things out of different looks is very key in today's game. But you got to do it efficiently, and doing it in the normal amount of work week becomes very, very cumbersome in today's NFL.
You know, we talk about the Bengals, and people keep on wanting to know why Marvin Lewis still has his job, and I wanted to get your take because you have a much better grasp on this than I sure do and our listeners. But, you know, working for the Brown family is not the easiest thing in the world, and so if you were to go in a different direction for Marvin Lewis, I want to ask you point blank, would the Bengals be able to attract a quote-unquote big-name coach?
I think the Brown family has, yes, they're kind of stuck in a little bit of a backwards way to some degree. But one thing you got to say, they're very patient. They've been very patient with Marvin Lewis, and they've been very successful. And I think Marvin has had a lot of leeway to build this team, and a lot of leeway in personnel, and taking chances on guys when he wants to. And so I think it's a better job than people on the outside might think. Now, why did he still have a job? Again, because they've been successful and the ownership has been patient through some lean times. It's the only time they've taken a real step back. So I don't know. I don't know how they'll react to it this year, but I think it's a little better than having that tempestuous owner that maybe, makes people, make fans excited, but you know, the guy that changes his staff every couple of years, like, and acts like he's doing something, it's not my fault, is not the way to go, Cleveland Browns.
So this is a question for Grant Napier, and it's regarding his New York Giants. So they get a win last week. Olivier Vernon, JPP, they played good on the defense, got a little bit of running. Besides the Cowboys, what is it going to take for these guys to take that next step? Because they're looking pretty good right now. Can you splash something on my man Grant over here, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I know. But I tell you what, that defense needs to continue to bring it. The pass rush looked really good this past week and the Monday night. A couple of nights ago, actually, days are running together. But I think certainly that's got to continue. Certainly protection for Eli. He's going to have to be sharp. And being able to run the football as effectively as they did. Consistency in this league is king. And, boy, that division is pretty good. I think they got three teams that are playoff caliber, and man, the Eagles are not going away as much as people think they might be going away. They're fighters. So I am very curious to see how much improved that the Giants can be as we head towards Thanksgiving. As everybody's chasing the Cowboys, they need to play well and probably need the Cowboys to come back a little bit to the pack.
Yeah, well, the Giants do have the Bears and the Browns the next 2 weeks. And then, Chris, you know this, there is no such thing as an automatic win in the NFL, but they should. Again, I underline they should win both those games to go to 8-3. Then they're at Pittsburgh, and then they have that home game against Dallas. The only way the Giants can win the division, they obviously have to win that home game against Dallas, and that's a long way off. But you mentioned Philadelphia and Washington, and Philadelphia to me is an interesting team because every time you think, they're really not going to be there, they go out and win a big game. But now this week they have to play Seattle, and boy, what a difficult test that is for a Seahawks team that seems to really be hitting their stride.
They are. What a great offensive effort. I'm sure Doug was excited about that.
What a great performance.
I knew you would be. They couldn't stop it. Neither team could stop either. But they're starting to click, and the passing game is coming into full form. You see Russell Wilson healthier in the offensive line. Did a little bit better, too. So it's quite a challenge for Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia comes up with good defensive game plans that can generate good pressure. And when they can cause some negative plays, they've got a chance. So I think from a roster standpoint, they're still fourth in the East, but they're pretty good. But they're capable against anybody on any given day. And, for Seattle, I still think Seattle is a team to really watch. I think that may be the biggest contender to the Cowboys, and I'm not quite sure that when it's all said and done come January that Seattle may be the team to beat. We need to see in the NFC. It's so much, though, about health and getting good fortune from here on out, because the fortunes of teams could flip from one week to the next drastically.
Bless your heart for that, by the way, Chris. Thank you very much. So the Dallas Cowboys having such great prosperity, especially on the offensive side. What are the chances? Because now is the time, as Grant mentioned earlier, that you start hearing names. You're going to hear names being fired, hearing names about head coaching. Scott Linehan, what do you think the chances of him maybe you hearing his name and him heading back as a head coach?
Well, I think he deserves a shot. I think he's learned a lot. I think he's been successful as a play caller. I think he has a better grasp on how to deal with things. I think there's some good, bright young coaches, but guy with his experience, I think, is well worth considering. And certainly we're going to have that carousel coming around shortly. As we know, it always happens. But I think he should and will be on the short list of a number of people.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I want to let everybody know there's a 50% discount for one calendar year subscription, just $49.99 if you use the code SEASONAL. And remember, $25 of that money goes to flood relief victims in the Baton Rouge area, or an 80% discount for a one-month trial. That's $2 using the code 2TWO. And if you're thinking, well, the season's half over, think again, because this is not just during the season. You would get everything leading up to all the bowl games, leading all the way through the NFL draft, all of the breakdowns on all the college players. It is, I think, the most thorough football website that you're going to come across. So check it out, LandryFootball.com. Chris, break down this game in Mexico City Monday night. The Texans and the Raiders, 7,200 feet is the altitude. Bad air. Both teams are playing in it. But give me your thoughts on this neutral site game.
It's always interesting to see how teams handle that environment and the distractions and the altitude, and those things are all factors. Oakland's the better team here. Houston is running the football adequately. They can't get enough going in the passing game. This is a game in which the Raiders defense should be able to have some success here. And this is not a great Houston defense. I think they play hard, but they have not near the playmakers as they've had when J.J. Watson played. But Clowney's playing pretty well. Raiders are the better team here. They should win the game. As you mentioned a little bit earlier, you never know what could happen. But to me, I think this is the Raiders are one of the better teams in the AFC, and I think Houston might be the best team of the South, and that's about it.
So last weekend, or I should say, yes, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas gave Gronk a boom day sandwich, and unfortunately he is injured. Martellus Bennett, man, a just massive stud. Now, do you see them, speaking of the Patriots, even missing a beat now?
Well, certainly you can't lose Gronk and not have it affect you because he's such a great mismatch. But having both of them makes them valuable. But it doesn't change what they do. They're going to still run two tight end sets. And this may be a bad shot, but I love Gronk. But if you ever spend any time talking with him, and if you've given him the concussion test, having a conversation with him, you can't tell the difference if he's concussed or he just woke up in the morning. I mean, he's just – you got to go to the dilated pupils or something because, God bless him, he's internally concussed.
Oh, my gosh, unbelievable. We're talking with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. You know, I don't really pay a lot of attention to power rankings. I'm not into it because, you know, they don't hand out trophies week by week in the NFL. But I still think I've got the Chiefs ahead of the Raiders. And I have them ahead of the Raiders because they have an identical record. And the Chiefs won in Oakland. And I think they're going to beat the Raiders again in a couple weeks because I think the Thursday night schedule for the road team is such a big disadvantage. Now, we'll find out if I'm right or wrong. But I can't put the Raiders ahead of the Chiefs right now. But I want to get your breakdown on that.
Well, if you're ranking it and you're in the pro football committee as opposed to the college football playoff committee, you'd be right. I mean, they had the head-to-head. They got the same record. You're right. Here's how I see them, the two teams. And you're right, it will play out. And you, by the way, short week, road team, Thursday night, you're spot on. I look at the Chiefs as a great regular season team. And I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment. I mean it this way. They do a great job of game planning, carving you up, and preparing for what you do and taking away what you do well, but they're not very explosive. They find a way to run the football. They can work the short passing game. They, when they're healthy with Ford and Holly, they've got two good edge rushers, and they've got playmakers in the secondary. But they find a way to win games. They really got outplayed for most of the game against Carolina, but made big plays, Peters and Barry did, in the secondary to take it over. I think that they've got a great chance to win the division. I think the Raiders are the more explosive team. The Raiders have, and I need to tell you, the listening audience, that the Raiders have pulled games out down the stretch. They haven't played their best ball. I think they're more explosive. I think they can attack teams a little bit better, but they're a little bit more inconsistent too, and a little bit more mistake-prone. So it's good Raiders, bad Raiders type formula. So I see them differently. I see them that they have more potential to cause damage in the playoffs to the Raiders, but they lack the consistency of the Chiefs. So I think the ceiling of the Chiefs is lower, but I think the floor is lower for the Raiders, and they can have more. Chiefs are not going to have a stinker of the game. You're better than them. You're going to go, and you're going to have to play well and beat them, but you got more opportunities to do it. With the Raiders, if they play their best game, they're tougher to beat, but they might help you with some mistakes. And you got the Broncos that are just not good enough on the offensive line or at quarterback at this point, but the defense is good enough to keep them in every game. Going to be a fun race in the AFC West, just like the NFC East the rest of the way.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, educating all of us, and I need some education right now because college football, that system is absolutely broken, my friend. So if you're looking at this, and right now you got Alabama, OSU, Michigan, Clemson, are you telling me that Penn State or Wisconsin are automatically going to be in this four as a two-loss team just because of the conference playoff?
Oh, I wouldn't say automatically. I think it'll be quite a discussion. I think Ohio State can make it, even if they don't make the Big Ten championship game. So let's just say, because there are so many scenarios, let's just clean it up and make some assumptions and that Ohio State wins out. Penn State wins out. I think Ohio State, Alabama, I think wins out, they're in. Michigan would be eliminated if they lost to Ohio State. I think Clemson, although they don't look very consistent, if they win out, they're still in pretty good shape. So where does that other team come from? I don't rule out Washington. I think, though, Washington has to win out. I think it would help them greatly if Colorado lost and USC made the conference championship game and Washington could avenge their loss in the conference championship game, then you would have a one-loss Pac-12 champion against a two-loss Big Ten champion. And I think Washington would fare well and probably get in. But it's going to be interesting because Then you got the whole, all right, you're going to take Ohio State, but Penn State or Wisconsin's not in, and it could get very interesting. And that's where it becomes very clouded. Yes, you value the conference championship, but remember what the bylaws say, that the conference championship means a lot, and only if somebody is demonstrably better, kind of like the irrefutable evidence on replay. If
right.
It is, you're clearly better, then you get in over the conference champion.
Right.
So how do you look at that? I mean, I can tell you that the film says Ohio State's better than Penn State.
No question.
But Ohio State botched some special teams and lost the game. So do you take Ohio State ahead of Penn State? I would, because they're demonstrably better. I hope they're not listening to this in State College, because then they're
yeah.
saying, you idiot, we beat them. Okay, it matters.
Right.
You know,
I got you.
It.
Sure.
You know, it's a tough argument, but we're gonna have it if some of this plays out, because that upset by Michigan to Iowa opened the door. Penn State's got Rutgers and Michigan State. So unless
right.
Michigan State rises up, Penn State's going to win out, and Ohio State beats Michigan, it's Penn State going to the Big Ten championship, and you got maybe, I think, the best Big Ten team out of it. And you're going to have these issues with these inflated conferences where you got more teams in it, and, you know, the West is stronger than the East and the North is stronger than the South. You're going to have these problems at times.
You know, not a lot of people talk about Penn State, but I'm with you. I think they win against Rutgers, and I think they'll beat Michigan State at home. And, you know, call it the post-Joe Paterno era and the down period that they had. They've done a nice job of resurrecting that program, haven't they?
Absolutely. Certainly followers of the website were just screaming for James Franklin. And hey, is he going to get it done? Can he get it done? Is it time to start thinking about this change? And do we bring in Greg Schiano? I mean, I got all those things. And he turned this thing around big time. And they're playing very well, and he's done a great job. I think that they're still a little ways away, but, boy, they've done a good job turning not only the attitude. I thought Bill O'Brien did a good job kind of getting them to turn the page, but James has done a good job. They've got to get a little bit better from a personnel standpoint, but this is a huge boost for their recruiting, and they deserve a lot of credit.
Yep.
They've done a phenomenal job. They don't look like a great team, but they rose up and played well against Ohio State and deserved to win it. And I don't know that they would beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. I think Wisconsin's a little bit better defensively, but I think it would be one heck of a matchup, an unanticipated matchup, but a good one nonetheless.
Give me the one team currently in college football that would have the best chance of competing with Alabama.
Oh man. I still would say Ohio State. They're young, but they're talented. They're very good on defense. They could maybe force Jalen Hurts to throw the football and maybe make it a close game there. And then if JT Barrett has a great game, then, you know, who knows, maybe they can hang. I think they still have the best shot. I know that Deshaun Watson had a great game, but this is not the same Clemson team. I think that Lamar Jackson would be fun to see how Nick Saban defends that improvisational-type quarterback, and I could see that being a real challenge. But I think Louisville's defense is underrated. I think they're good, but I don't know that they could slow down Alabama enough. So I would say Ohio State, then I would take the quarterback that in the team that's playing the best between Clemson and Louisville in the next 2 or 3 weeks, that would be the best shot at beating them. Let's call it like it is, though. Alabama's going to help the cause. They're going to have to play poorly, turn the football over, and the opposing quarterback's going to have a great game.
When you look at the NCAA, I think a lot of it, in my opinion, is they play off what the fans want to see and all these different things. So with that being said, do you think Lamar Jackson is keeping Louisville in it because of his Heisman hopes and the fact that they do have a really good team, maybe the possibility of them making that last four?
I think they're a good team, but, you know, it's like when you're talking about Clemson, well, they lost to Pitt, and they struggled against this team. I mean, I study tape, guys. Wake Forest was beating Louisville for three quarters last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and,
right.
Wow. And Duke and Virginia had them on the ropes, and Lamar had a big-time throw against Duke to win the game with 11 seconds left. So everybody has got flaws outside of Alabama maybe, but everybody's had issues. I think they're legitimate. I think the problem is, Doug and Grant, is they lost to Clemson. If it's close, you got to look at the head-to-head. I mean, can you look at Louisville? I would say that Louisville's playing a slightly better than Clemson.
I agree.
But
yeah.
not, you know, it,
enough
to say,
yeah.
Okay, ignore that game in which Clemson won. I don't know that I can do that. And because of that, they're not going to the ACC championship game.
Right.
So Clemson is. I think it's tough. I think it's really tough. And you know, it's a tough system. I don't want to see college football get like the NFL. And I, you know, people talk
sure.
about expanding it, but I think eventually we're going to go within the next 10 years. I think you're going to see the Big 12 get dissolved, and I think you're going to see four mega
wow.
conferences.
Wow.
I think you're going to have about 20 teams in each conference, and I think you're going to see the four champions of each conference.
Yeah. That,
you know, maybe everybody wants to go to eight. Maybe the answer eventually is to go to six. Give the top two teams a bye and put 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5. You have the conference champions automatically get in, and you have the two teams that are clearly one of the best but were in a tough conference and they couldn't win their conference. You have two wild cards in essence. Maybe that's the way to go. Now, in some years, be prepared for you got five teams and you got a week 16. I mean, you know, you're going to have that.
Yeah. All right.
Some years, you know, only two's enough. But we're going to have problems most years. It's not going to be real clean. But we still, with only 2 weeks left and then the conference championships, a lot of football that's going to maybe clear this up a little bit or maybe cloud it up more. I don't know.
All right, you go to KHDK.com and ask the scout. And this week's question, Chris, comes from Luke. He wants to know, are the Miami Dolphins going to make the playoffs, in your opinion?
I do not think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they are playing better. You know, right now they'd be on the outside looking in. You got to look at the AFC West now. I mean, they got a good 2-game lead.
That's right.
Both the Raiders, the Broncos, you know, Chiefs, they, you know, one of them's going to win the division. So they're chasing. They got to stay in the chase, which means that they've got to keep pace. They've got to win out. They're going to have to pull a couple of upsets the rest of the way and hope that some bad things happen to at least one of those teams in the West and maybe get in that way. And then, you know, you're only one game ahead of Pittsburgh, who played well against Dallas last week. And if they get healthy, they're an issue.
Chris, we'll talk to you next week. Always great having you on. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week, guys.